guys. Welcome back to the Go Ham Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. We're going to be diving deep into the mind of Meg Cianci, who is a 200K stylist at our salon. So buckle up.
200K and take home.
Yeah, let's make that clear.
Let's be clear.
That's a good point, because I feel like a lot of times out in like social media world, like they mention how people are six-figure stylists, but that's just like services. So yes, six figures, take
home. We're talking
home.
About net here, yeah. Not gross.
IRS, don't come for me.
I'm pretty sure they already have.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. What's up, Meg?
Hi.
How you feeling today?
I'm all right.
She already warned us that if we don't get what we need during this episode, that's it. It's one shot.
Done.
One shot with Meg.
Let's take it back to little Meg. What inspired little Meg to want to be a hairstylist?
So my sister, actually. She's 6 years older than I am. I was always like her guinea pig when we were growing up. So she would...
God, this is so relatable, this story.
She like... I'll never forget. She went to like Acme and got like a highlight hair kit, and my mom was out grocery shopping and she like highlighted, and I say that loosely, but she highlighted my hair, and my mom came home and half my head was blonde, yellow, like piss yellow, and the other half was like my natural color, and she was so pissed.
And that moment you were like, let's do hair.
Yeah. This is it for me.
Wait, I can agree on this, because you took my hair to my chin. Chopped my hair to my chin. My fourth grade picture I had, that was the last time I had short hair.
Going for a whole new
and
look
that
for
inspired me to learn how to do hair, because you
never
couldn't.
Do that again.
Because
you couldn't.
I'm not gonna argue that. I could never cut. I could color. I can't cut.
Did your sister do hair?
Yeah, she still does.
She still does. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when she was in high school, she went to Votech, and then she would always let me like put her single processes on in our bedroom, like in front of her standing mirror, and I was like, this is pretty cool.
Shout out to Nicole.
Yeah.
All right. So you got into it with your sister being. Mm-hmm. Sort of the inspiration behind that. Talk to us about what, you know, what the beginning of your career looked like. Because you didn't, let's just be clear here. We are the same age. Went to cosmetology school at the same time. Didn't go to school together. Mm-mm. But we kind of had our own career paths. And then when I opened a salon and tried time and time again to get you to come on over, you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about that portion of life.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the... That was probably one of like my greatest career moments, was like taking that leap of faith and like making the jump. And I was super comfortable where I was at in my salon space. And I had like great relationships with like my friends and like clients that ultimately maybe didn't follow me. Like, I'll never forget it. My dad was like, you can like have a successful career and still have a family and be a mom. And I do. Yeah, like I took that leap, and I'll never forget that feeling, like how like proud I was of myself for doing it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, all the times I said, yeah, I'm doing it. No, I'm not doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. No, I'm just kidding. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I think like the universe needed to be aligned in that, and I needed to be ready to take that leap. And definitely the best thing I ever did.
We basically had to open a salon up down the street from where she was working at to get her to spit.
You had to be able to spit from one door to the other in order
for
me to.
We were like, all right, now you basically don't have a choice.
Yeah, literally. It's pretty much what you did, which is like the story of our friendship, right? This is like pretty much what you've done to me my entire life.
Pretty much.
So
if anybody doesn't know that about me, my superpower is I'm the manipulation master.
Yes. She's a conniver.
Yep. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So we finally got you after how many years? It was probably like six.
It was, yeah, six? Since we opened Newtown. So
four? Five?
No, it was five, like
years,
five.
About five.
About
5 years?
Five, yeah.
Before we got Meg to come on over. All right. So talk to us a little bit about what like some of the changes were.
Big changes. I mean, just like the way you guys book, like you guys pushed me right into booking on the 45. Like I never saw a life where I would never be able to have like a Saturday off. Like I don't have that. Like I never pictured being able to have the success that I have right now working 2 days out of the week. Mm-hmm. Like it's a total 180. If you could make it even shorter, it would be shorter than that. Like there's nothing that like compares to what I was doing before. I needed all that to get to where I am, right? Because all that built my book and everything, but it's just totally different now.
Okay. Wait, this is taking me back to Miami.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
2012.
And we used to joke about like you opening a salon, and we'd be open what 2 days a week, Skanky Fresh salon.
Hold on,
and
I can remember physically being in Miami. It must have been 2014 when we were opening.
I remember it,
and you were like talking with you
on the phone with Heather,
drunk, outside of like some day
bar, like club.
Maybe the Clevelander. Maybe
Were we fighting about work or boys?
No, this was before the this was like business establishment type of thing. I remember
you were talking about,
and we were like battling it out before we even started. But anyway, let's get back to you. So, can you just do me a favor and put this out in the universe? I make $200,000 a year behind the chair, and I work 2 days.
I make $200,000 a year, and I work 2 days behind the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty serious. Love,
pretty powerful stuff.
It is. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Like the key factors were that contributed to all of this success for you?
My sparkling personality. No, for serious. My work ethic to start. I totally pride myself in that, and I can say that I got that from my dad. Two would probably be authenticity, you know, and being real. I think it attracts, you attract like who you are, like you attract what you want. And I think my clients are like pretty cool people, and then they tell their friends and their friends come to me. Like it just, you just attract that. Competitiveness, which ultimately, let's just to be clear, it's I'm competitive with myself.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything worse than that. So that could be like on the downside, but it definitely helps. Passion for sure. Last but not least, passion. I genuinely love what I do. I love talking to people. I love making people feel good about themselves. And I love doing hair.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big things that you forgot was that you're great at doing hair.
Yeah.
That you win awards. You just won best colorist last year.
Best hairstylist.
Best hairstylist, sorry. Yeah. But, I mean, you bring home the awards and your work shows.
Only that, I think a big key thing that you left out is your, whether you realize it or not, like such a good leader. There's not one person in our building that has one bad thing to say about you, and I feel like that kind of speaks volumes for sure.
Thanks.
So true.
Yeah, we're definitely lucky to have you on the team.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So you're a mom. Mm-hmm. You're a mom of two little girls that are
adorable.
We love
The best. They're the best.
But talk to us about that. So it's interesting because I think most of us are in this season of life where we're playing the balancing act, and it's ridiculously hard at times. But talk to us about that. You know, why you choose the schedule that you choose. And
That's definitely got to be a trick question, because I don't think that I have balance. I think I work really hard for it. I think that I wear two hats. I wear my career mag hat, and then I wear my mom hat. And never at the same time. I'm like super fortunate to be able to, you know, have the flexibility of the schedule that I have. And, you know, I get to be home with my kids 5 of the 7 days of the week and still be a provider for them and be like the other equation in like the household income.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm like proud of it because I couldn't do one or the other, right? Yeah. Like just solely, like I could have just not have a family and work or vice versa, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that any mom, I think hopefully you guys can maybe agree with me on this, that there's like a fine line between balance and chaos, and teetering on the edge of chaos is always the case. And, you know, the more I age and the older my kids get, I think that I'm finding that there really isn't a true balance, like at least not 50-50. I think that if we're being real, it's always 60-40 or 30-70, and whatever you're in the greater part of, like the other gets affected. And I think it's like just an ebb and flow of life. But I will say that even though every year towards the end of the year, I try to set my goals and my strategies to find balance and be better, the universe doesn't always have those plans for you, and it can either throw you a curveball or it can push you forward either way. Just something I chase. And I think that the older I get, I know I don't want to be one of those people that was put on this earth for other people to look at and be like, that's what it looks like to just be stuck. Mm-hmm. Like I want to continue to grow and do better and be better and try to find the balance, even if it's, you know, 60-40.
I think there's like so much power behind that, because as women and all of you women out there, it's just like you strive to be perfect in every category of your life. And what you just said is like, it's so transparent. So many people can relate to the fact that like, yeah, you might be crushing it in your career. It's okay that your personal life isn't going great. And it might be opposite. I feel like we all have been in situations where like our personal life is going great, but like shit's on fire at the salon. Mm-hmm. Like just normalizing that is such a powerful thing.
Yeah.
You do a really good job, whether you realize it or not, but like you're so successful on the career side of it, and so successful on the mom side too.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. Yeah. See how those kids grow up.
You kill it. You're a true inspiration. I hope
hopefully
you know
they're
that.
Just like you.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you're definitely showing them. Like, I think you're showing the world. You're showing all of our team members, not only you, a lot of the people that are involved in our group, that, you know, being a career-driven mom is a possibility. It's like, it's okay to have a really great, fulfilling career and be a mom and find that balance and be proud. And, you know, because I find that, like, I feel you in the sense of, like, I like that my kids, you know, can look at me and be like, all right, like, not everything, you know, like, my mom does this. My mom works. Yeah. Like, your kids said something about you at
she goes Mother's to Day meetings.
Thing. Oh, my go to meetings. What does your mom do for work? And Ava said my mom goes to meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And I that's my fault, though, because I tell her, like, she'll be like, can I come to work with you? And I'm like, I can't. I have a meeting. No kids are allowed.
Yeah.
So she just thinks I go to meetings.
That's awesome.
But with this also, you know, everybody's got to find their balance. And I give tremendous love to the moms that are staying home, because I think they have the most difficult job, you know, and the ones that step back from their career and, you know, I'm just going to chill with my kids, or I'm going to, you know, be at home and be a mom until they're in school. And then I'm going to come back, like, all of that, like, everybody's on their own journey.
Yeah.
And mad respect to anybody who's doing that, because just because this is what's, you know, working for you or what's working for me. I think that it's just worth acknowledging that, like, everybody, you know, just because you're at home doesn't necessarily mean it's any easier, because I sure as hell don't think it is.
Yeah. No, the pressure's on the moms at all times, no matter what path you're on. Meg, I wanted to ask you, though, aside from coming from a different salon to Privé at Wayne, how did you retain your clients when you made the switch? How do you retain them now? And also, how do you get new clients?
So, I think...
Meg, did you lose clients? When you transitioned from one salon to the other?
A few, but to be honest, like, no, like, I didn't feel it.
Good.
Which I was like, you know, that says a lot, right? And like, God, that made me feel great.
Mm-hmm.
To know that they loved me that much to walk 2 seconds away from my previous salon and park in like one more space closer. You know, it's just, but, retention. So like what a part of like what we do behind the chair isn't just hair, right? It's like building relationships, building connections, and like building like trust and being authentic and being yourself. And I mean, what you see is what you get. Like, and if somebody likes you enough to continue to come back to you, and on top of it, you do some really great hair, like that's huge. I think that biggest form of flattery, in my opinion, is a woman going up to another woman being like, I love your hair. And that woman be like, oh, well, I go to Meg. And then them sending them to me. Referral. And I think that's, you know, the authenticity of like myself and like having my clients come back to me because they enjoy being in my chair. We're in one of the only jobs left in this like world that like you physically touch another human. And I think that in itself like builds a connection with somebody and like you like can change like somebody's day. So I think that is part of retaining your guests and having that great experience.
Yeah. What would you say to the up-and-coming stylist who is being completely flooded with the Instagram entitlement? Like, I feel like there's this, I mean, it's the whole world. It's not necessarily just our industry, but what you see is like, you know, this like fake reality in Instagram where it's like, oh, I'm, you know, 20 years old and I have 300,000 followers and I charge this much And, you know, it's like these kids these days have such a different battle than we had.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, there's so much value behind what the relationships that you build with your clients. And I just would love to hear you, like, talk a little bit about that, because I think that some of these, some of the up-and-comers just, like, don't see the value there. It's more like, oh, this is what I charge if you're not happy, you know. You know?
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be, like, great at touching on that topic, because if we're being honest, I hate social media. I know I have to do it, but I'm not a huge fan of it. And I didn't grow up that way. So They're doing themselves a disservice by not trying to build that foundation of a relationship. I mean, you deal with people. Like, you have to have that. If you don't have that, I could probably tell you won't have a great, solid book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I never wanted to be one of those people that were like, back in my day. Mm-hmm. But honestly, literally.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. I mean, I don't have a strong... Like, I mean, I have, what, maybe like 1,500 people that follow me on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, I wouldn't say that's strong compared to some of the other girls that are in mm-hmm. our salon. But, I mean, I know I have a hell of a good book, and I know I'm successful, and I know that, like, people come back to me. So I mean weigh it out, you know, like, look at somebody who didn't grow up that way versus somebody who's doing that now and see where you're at.
I love it. Well, I just want to say, like, you put a lot of time and effort and energy into the relationship portion.
Yeah.
And it shows, and I think it's a major part of where you're at today.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things, well, strategies for you too, and like you said, how you don't love social media. So all of your effort, the majority of your effort, goes into your clients and into making people happy, not just putting a post on Facebook or social media, Instagram. But I think it all happens organically for you. So maybe I feel like these young ones that are on social media, they work way harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're constantly creating content and coming up with, you know, verbiage and posts, and they're on this platform and that platform. And it's like, just be a hairstylist. Just give a shit. Learn what you're doing. Do it well. Establish relationships and they'll come back.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's what
matters most.
Yeah.
Where do you turn for, like, inspiration? Is there anybody that you, any ways that you've invested in yourself that you feel like has made a significant improvement in, like, mindset or business or even technique?
I've had a bunch of mentors throughout my career. Like, no one I'll name specifically, because I think, like, you could go to a haircutting class and that stylist is going to teach you, like, a life skill, and, like, vice versa. And I love education. It's harder now to get to with the kids and stuff. But yeah, I mean, again, no one I'll name specifically, but I think the universe puts people in your life for a specific reason. And, like, you just have to be open to the message that they're giving you. And even if it's like a small tidbit, like, just taking it and being like, oh, I can apply this here, whether it's like a skill or it's like, you know, a life skill. Again, I feel like it all kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's something that I did when I forced you to go on every plane you could possibly get on?
You mean the nudge, the infamous nudge? Yeah, I would definitely say that you were one of my mentors. For sure.
Maybe as I the life aspect, but yeah, that's what I mean. Like, too much hair.
That's what I mean.
There.
I mean, there's.
Oh no, I wasn't talking about the hair or the industry portion. I mean. I was talking more about, like,
that's,
you know,
what I'm saying.
Hey.
Life.
That's great.
It all comes together, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Clubs, bottle service,
whatever.
Bikinis.
Totally.
Guys, I just got paid. Flights are $225.
I booked you on. Just pay me half.
Yeah. Oh. Pay me later.
Yeah. I think people are probably curious to know about how you operate behind a chair, just like your business in general. You know, what does it look like? Obviously, you work with an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk us through, like, what your days look like.
Well, firstly, I would never be able to do what I'm doing without an apprentice. They're like an extension of me, but still themselves, you know, which, like, I want them to be like that. They need to be able to read my many facial expressions, which, if you know me, that's endless, annoying, and impossible, but it's one of the top things that they need. But no, they allow me to be able to see anywhere from 13 to 16 clients plus a day. And without it, it would be not happening.
So just to be clear, you're not on this booking 4 hours for an appointment, servicing three guests a day. Mm-mm. You're doing complete opposite, which is, like you said, 13 to 16 a day.
Yeah.
Typically booking how long for each?
About 45 minutes, depending. Most of the time it's 45 minutes. Apply the color, I do the haircuts, and then my apprentice will root shadow, tone, blow dry, and pretty much help me with everything.
I think it's important to mention the mentality around the apprentice. And you said something like, so important is the fact that it's like an extension of you. A lot of times people shy away from using assistants because it's like, oh, they're not going to do it the way I do it. Well, like, let's change that. Like, how are we going to get you up to speed to do the things that I do the way that I do it? And I feel like that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I am pretty easygoing as far as that goes. I don't care if you don't blow dry the same as me, as long as it looks good. Right. I don't care if you apply a root shadow differently, as long as you do it. And it's how I wanted it to look.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, as long as they're confident and they have like a good personality and can like engage in clients, and I'm cool with it. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty easygoing.
Tell us a funny story about...
It depends on which one you want to know.
I'm dying to hear.
There's always, you know, the ones that keep you up at night. So they're funny now, but they weren't funny then. So you have your choice of Tim's ear.
Rest in peace.
You have the highlight that sat on for like 2 hours because I forgot she was there.
Wait, no, what?
Not here.
Oh, okay.
Not here.
Wait, just Tim's ear was the one that you reached out to me about?
Yeah.
Somebody, I got a text message that was like, and I think it was you. It had to be you.
I think I sent you a screenshot of her text message. Oh. Like, can you please text her right now and mess with her?
Yes, yeah. That was what it was.
Because then like 2 weeks later, I caught off Roman's ear.
Oh my God. Wait, I want to hear about Tim's ear now.
All right. So I was doing a men's haircut and I was trimmer over combing around his ear and I slipped and the trimmer went like right above his ear and it probably took out like a one and a half inch long, half inch wide chunk of like his hair. My God. And he's probably one of the coolest guys ever, but like not facing the mirror and I was like, shit. And he was like, are you doing damage control right now? And I was like, a little bit.
I love that he asked you this. It's
and
so
I was
good.
Like sweating. And he was like, I was like trying to blend it out. And he was like, any shorter, I'm going to look like a jarhead.
Oh my God.
I was like sweating. And then I made him come in like every week after that so I could like blend it out. And he's so funny. He was like, I was going to wrap like galls around my head. For, like,
I love it.
But then like, yeah, then 2 weeks later I cut my male client's ear, and we both like knew something happened, but we didn't know like what. We both felt it, obviously. I'm sure he felt that. And I was like, did I just cut you? And he's like, I think so. And then like all of a sudden you see like the blood, and I was like,
oh my god.
I ran into the back, and this is literally like 2 weeks after Tim, and everyone was like, oh my God.
I was like, should we turn off your men's haircuts?
I was just going to say, so we could all agree that coloring is your strong point. Yeah.
See, guys, you can still be successful and screw up.
Totally.
And live to tell the story about it.
And recover from it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I haven't recovered quite yet. But every time
I want to mention, though, is that, you know, as advanced as you are in your career, you're still doing men's cuts. Like, you just talked about two that happened. So, like, I just think that's kind of cool to acknowledge for somebody, because I feel like so often now are you seeing, sorry guys, I keep playing this devil's advocate over here. Even though you're at the point where you technically, like, you know, they're probably not serving you in the best way or your business because it's a men's cut and you're not charging what you would charge for whatever else, but you're still doing them. And, like, that's part of the game. Like, you probably love some of the men that you do.
They're probably my favorite clients. It's the reason why I still do them.
Yeah.
They're so fun. And like, I don't know where they came from, but some of them I've been doing since I like started on the floor.
Yep. So are Tim and Roman still your clients today?
They are, yeah.
Well, that says a lot. There you go.
Yeah.
Meg, any time management tips for stylists that you could give them? You just said you did 13 to 16 clients a day. So we talked about like what your day looks like, but is there any kind of time management skill that you've acquired over the years or anything that you can give another stylist on how you can easily make this happen?
Yeah, let go and let God. Get an apprentice. Just know the day always ends and you can only do what you can do with 4 sets of hands. Yeah, no, I have no strategy there. I just do.
I have a question. How far into your career did you really start seeing like success? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you knew what you were doing from early on, but like, what was there a turning point in your career at all where you're like, all right, something just shifted and now I'm there. I'm where I always wanted to be.
February 2019 when I February 6th, 2019.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So do you believe if you would have stayed at the other place that you wouldn't have been where you are today?
I would not be making the money I'm making today. No, I do believe that.
So you needed that little extra push from us.
Yes.
All right. It's all tuck.
Yeah. Little nudge.
Yeah.
Little mod nudge.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, little scary. Kick. Yeah, pretty much. More of like a kick. So you pushed me off a cliff and I had nowhere else to go. Yeah. But no, yeah.
I will say that if I am a part of the decision and it's going to impact you, I am 100% going to make sure I follow through on every promise.
Yeah. And I believe that.
Super insightful stuff.
Yeah. Seriously. You're like
a legend.
Oh, wow.
I know. Jeez. And so humble. My goodness.
Yeah. It was an accident. Whoopsies. I made 200K.
Oh, my God.
I love
Where can the people find you? Let them know your Instagram.
I'm not on Instagram. I'm just kidding. It's meg.cianci.hair, which I still struggle with because I never changed my name. My married name.
Oh, yeah. I remember that debacle.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we appreciate this. I think the audience is really going to gain a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that you can inspire some of the young people in the industry. And that's all we got.
Cool.
So signing off with
thanks
the legend herself. Thank you for tuning in to the Go Ham Podcast. We will catch you on the next one.